Coming up, as more states legalize same-sex marriage, mainline Protestant churches are coming under new pressure to allow gay weddings.
Our call to be inclusive of all people comes from Scripture.
The church shouldn't just go along with what the wider society demands of it.
And for most of his life, this man has composed religious music. What makes that surprising is that this man is jazz legend Dave Brubeck.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're yourretirementcompany.com. Also by the Henry Luce Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Welcome, I'm Tim O'Brien, sitting in for Bob Abernathy. Good to have you with us. Leaders of the world's wealthiest industrialized nations said their commitment to poor and developing countries remains strong, despite the global financial crisis. They've agreed to raise $20 billion within the next 3 years for food and agricultural aid to developing countries. The leaders were in Italy this week for the annual Group of Eight, or G8, summit. Religious leaders, including Pope Benedict, had urged them not to abandon the needy. The day before the summit opened, Benedict issued a new encyclical calling for a global economic system based on ethics rather than profits. He said greed and moral failure in the business world helped create the current financial crisis. After the G8 summit concluded, President Obama had his first face-to-face meeting with the Pope in a private session at the Vatican. Benedict granted a rare afternoon audience in order to accommodate Obama's schedule. Despite differences over abortion, the president has said the two share concerns about a host of issues, including global poverty, climate change, and Middle East peace. During his visit to Moscow last week, Obama and Kremlin leader Dmitry Medvedev made some progress in curbing the arms race, agreeing to sharply cut the number of nuclear warheads each country may deploy over the next 7 years. Reverend Samuel Kobia, General Secretary of the World Council of Churches, praised the agreement, calling it a step forward on the difficult but essential journey that the world must take to free itself from the specter of self-destruction. Massachusetts, the first state to legalize gay marriage, this week became the first state to challenge the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. The law prevents same-sex married couples from tapping into a wide range of federal benefits, like filing joint income tax returns and getting survivor benefits under Social Security. Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley says Congress has no valid reason for requiring the state to treat married same-sex couples differently from all other married couples. It is an important test of the federal law, one that could well end up in the U.S. Supreme Court. The issue of gay marriage is on the agenda as the U.S. Episcopal Church holds its once-every-3-years General Convention in Anaheim, California. For years, Episcopalians have been deeply divided over homosexuality. One proposal being debated at this meeting would allow Episcopal churches to conduct same-sex weddings in the 6 states that have legalized gay marriage. Currently, most mainline denominations do not officially allow same-sex weddings, but the changing legal environment is adding new pressure. Kim Lawton has our report.
Boston's historic Church of the Covenant has been an important place for Anne Crane and Sarah Perrault. The lesbian couple had their first date there in the late 1970s, and by the time Massachusetts legalized same-sex marriage, the two had been active members for more than 25 years. So a church wedding seemed the obvious choice.
In particular, we wanted to be married at our home church with our community and our family and friends.
But it was complicated. Church of the Covenant is duly aligned with 2 mainline denominations, the United Church of Christ and the Presbyterian Church USA. And while the UCC has no problem marrying same-sex couples, it's against national Presbyterian policy.
Well, it's painful to know that the church that I've been a part of all my life does not recognize our relationship and our marriage as being a legitimate marriage.
Church of the Covenant worked it out so that a retired UCC minister conducted the ceremony and the Presbyterian side of the church officially stayed out of it. Crane and Perrault said their wedding was beautiful and meaningful, but not quite everything they would have planned.
I felt badly because there were people that we would have liked to include in our ceremony who could not participate because they were ordained Presbyterian clergy. There was a real loss there.
We are a couple.
For decades, mainline denominations have been wrestling over issues surrounding homosexuality, whether to ordain gay clergy, and whether to recognize and bless same-sex unions. Now that six states have legalized gay marriage, those battles are taking on a new urgency.
No more ignorance!
Some church members are pushing the denominations to reassess their policies, while others are fighting to hold the line. Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, an advocacy group that supports conservative positions within mainline denominations.
The church shouldn't just go along with what the wider society demands of it, but the church is ideally supposed to be faithful to timeless teachings that have been presented to the church through its scripture and through its traditions.
To have and to hold.
Currently, while the Unitarians in the UCC conduct gay marriages, mainline Protestant denominations as a rule don't officially allow it. Clergy who participate in same-sex weddings could face church trials and even risk being defrocked.
I hereby pronounce you husband and husband.
Traditionalists within those churches will strive to help to ensure that there is as much fidelity as possible by the clergy to the official teachings.
In the United Methodist Church, 83-year-old Richard Harding has a long history of activism for gay rights. He helped found Reconciling Retired Clergy, a network of retired pastors willing to perform gay marriages.
There's not a whole lot that they can do to retired clergy, and there's a whole lot they can do to an active pastor that they can't do to us, and that's why we're stepping in.
Harding says he believes what he's doing is the right thing, so he's willing to risk any repercussions.
We could be defrocked. I would be now sitting here as Mr. Harding instead of Reverend Harding. And in Massachusetts, a layperson can go for a day to the State House and get permission to officiate at a marriage. So we'll still be able to do it, only I just wouldn't be a pastor anymore.
Please do come.
At Church of the Covenant, Interim Minister Jennifer Wegter McNally is an ordained Presbyterian pastor. She says her congregation has been put in a difficult position of trying to maintain support for gay members while still respecting the national denomination.
We have long history and we're very active. And so I think there is a lot of really thoughtful, hard conversation about how do we be prophetic and remain faithful and connected to the churches that are our larger community.
So far, they've been able to do that by keeping same-sex weddings solely under the jurisdiction of the UCC part of their church. Other congregations don't have that option. Episcopal clergy also can't conduct gay marriages. In an effort to be even-handed, many Massachusetts Episcopal churches aren't doing any weddings, gay or straight. Instead, Reverend Pam Wernz at Boston's Emmanuel Episcopal Church says they provide a blessing for couples who are married by the state.
That could happen separately. It could happen at the courthouse, and then a couple comes here for the ceremony. Or it can happen in the same ceremony where a justice of the peace presides over the first part of the service and the priest presides over the blessing and often a Eucharist celebration.
The compromise may have helped circumvent some of the denominational difficulties, but Wernz says it was still painful for many members.
There were people that left the church in feeling a lot of sorrow and betrayal that the Episcopal Church couldn't move as fast as I think it needed to move when same-sex marriage was legalized.
UCC Minister Reinie Abele, who does perform gay weddings, says churches need to be better at addressing social concerns.
Churches generally are not the leading edge of cultural change in our society. They are often not the engine, but the caboose.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered together by the grace of God and in the presence.
But despite the new activism, mainline clergy continue to be conflicted over the issue, and those who support gay marriages still appear to be in the minority.
Speak now, or else forever hold your peace.
According to a new survey from Public Religion Research, mainline clergy are generally more supportive of gay rights than the American public as a whole. But that doesn't hold true when it comes to same-sex marriage. Only a third of mainline clergy support gay marriage. That number is just about the same for Americans overall.
Often people in wider society are very surprised to learn that the mainline churches don't already accept same-sex marriage, because typically these churches, at least for the last 50, 60 years or more, have been on the liberal side of social issues, but they have hung back on the marriage issue.
For many, it's an issue of basic theology.
Typically for Jews and Christians, marriage is a metaphor for faithfulness between God and his people. And once you begin to redefine what marriage is, you ultimately start to redefine who God is. And that obviously and understandably is very difficult for Christians and Jews.
In the Presbyterian Church USA, Reverend Mary Holder Negley is among those urging the denomination to maintain its stand.
Homosexual practice is not God's design for humanity. Not being God's design for humanity, having these clear prohibitions in the scripture make homosexual practice a sin. Homosexual marriage makes permanent a situation that God wants to redeem.
But others advocate a different interpretation of the Bible.
Our call to be inclusive of all people comes from scripture. It comes from faithfulness to God. It comes from understanding that all people are made in the image of God, and that it's essential in our role to support people in their relationships, to bless them and support them and nurture them.
For Wegter McNally, the issue also comes down to her pastoral responsibilities to the people in her pews.
Here, gay marriage isn't an abstract issue. It's not a political issue. It's very much an issue of the people of the congregation being in community together, to tell people that this community that is the compass for your life is not going to bless and support you in your intimate relationship is kind of an impossibility.
But supporters of traditional marriage say pastors also have a responsibility to their faith and to the wider church.
Why would I, a representative of God, help people make permanent with a vow? I take marriage vows very seriously, but with a vow to make permanent, then seal something that God wouldn't agree with.
As they celebrate their fifth wedding anniversary, Ann Crane and Sarah Perrault are glad their church wedding worked out.
It's a liberating feeling, you know, and it's enabled me and us to live our lives, you know, honestly and openly. And many people don't have that opportunity and have to continue living a lie. And that's the sad thing.
Those whom God has joined together, let no one put asunder.
Amen.
But given the conflicts within the mainline churches, the situation is not likely to change anytime soon. I'm Kim Lawton in Boston.
Tens of thousands of Muslims gathered in Washington, D.C. for the annual convention of the Islamic Society of North America, and they had a keynote speaker who surprised many. Evangelical megachurch pastor and author Rick Warren. Warren called on Muslims and Christians to work together to promote peace and protect freedom in the world. He emphasized the need to build relationships based on mutual respect.
We may disagree over beliefs. We may disagree over behavior. But we are called and we are commanded to treat each other with dignity and respect.
In other news, President Obama has chosen research scientist and evangelical Christian Francis Collins to be the next director of the National Institutes of Health. Collins led the Human Genome Project and has been a leading voice urging a better relationship between science and religion. He wrote the best-selling book, The Language of God, A Scientist Presents Evidence for Belief. Music and religion have some deep and common roots, and some of the world's greatest musicians have taken their inspiration from a higher power. Jazz musicians, too, like the legendary Dave Brubeck, still performing at age 88. Our reporter Bob Faugh takes a look at Brubeck the man, some of his music, and the faith that makes it all happen.
Well,
For nearly six decades, Dave Brubeck has been dazzling listeners worldwide. With his unique, inventive style, he has become a jazz immortal. What is less known and just as remarkable is that for much of that time, Brubeck has also composed religious music, like the Commandments, which he recorded for the Milken Archive of American Jewish Music. In his religious scores, Brubeck achieves what he cannot achieve in jazz.
When I write a piece, a sacred piece, I'm looking hard and trying to discover what I'm about and what my parents were about and the world's about.
You think religious music can change people?
Yeah, sure.
Brubeck says his service in World War II convinced him, quote, something should be done musically to strengthen man's knowledge of God. In his choral work, Gates of Justice, also recorded for the Milken Archive of American Jewish Music, he pleads for brotherhood and invokes the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
We don't live together as brothers. We will together as
in The Commandments, Brubeck's message is strictly biblical. His masterwork, performed here by the Russian National Chorus in Moscow. Brubeck's classic is a mass which he wrote at the request of a Catholic organization and entitled To Hope, a Celebration.
The priest said, Dave, I want people to be happy. I'm tired of people coming up for communion with sad looks on their faces when it should be the happiest day of their week. So will you make it rhythmic and kind of feeling of something to make people move up the aisle, maybe swinging a little?
Which explains why, in the midst of something reverential, Brubeck's quartet launches into toe-tapping, rollicking jazz. For Dave Brubeck, jazz not only embraces, it also enhances religion.
How does the jazz magnify the religious message?
Well, it would go back to the spirituals. And the gospel singing is so wonderful and so rhythmic and so great in certain churches. And you reach that audience if you have that gospel feeling.
Sometimes, says Brubeck, the music shapes the text. Sometimes, he says, it's just the opposite.
I heard you at one point say, my basic approach is to sing the text.
Yeah, well,
until something seems right.
Yeah. That's all my hope is in you, oh Lord. You are my rock and my strength.
As for those lyrics, it turns out that's the realm of Dave Brubeck's wife.
My wife was driving, and I said, I finished this. And she said, no, you haven't finished it. And I said, well, what did I leave out? And she said, God's love made visible. He is invincible. God's love made visible. So that's the way it finished.
Iola Brubeck, his wife of nearly 63 years, he calls her the brains of the outfit, chooses the text for most of his religious scores.
After I catch on to what he's after, then I start reading and thinking about, well, what could apply. He thinks very musically. I tend to think more in forms of the narrative.
Have you ever had occasion to say, dear, this isn't quite working, we ought to go another direction? Would you ever say that to the great Dave Brubeck?
I don't think I've ever said we should go in another direction. I think I have been bold enough to say, you know, I just don't think this is quite saying what you want to say.
Sometimes, though, even a wifely intervention isn't enough. Listen to Brubeck's haunting Our Father in To Hope. All this, says Brubeck, was composed in a dream.
In your mercy, keep us free. But I did dream it that night, and it turned out pretty good.
You dreamed, do you dream in harmony? Do you dream an instrument? Would you dream a melody? What's the dream?
Melody, orchestration. And it's a pretty complete thing.
And is it true that after you had the dream and after you wrote it down, you then decided to become a Catholic?
Yeah. I figured somebody's trying to tell me something and go with the flow.
Whatever the source, whatever the musical framework, this living legend always tries, he says, to convey the same message, love your enemies.
You go by all kinds of churches, and they don't seem to know what Christ was trying to tell us.
You think it's a very simple message, what he was trying to tell us?
No, it's profound. Probably the most profound thing in the Bible is love your enemies, do good to those that hate you. This is what, to me, is the essence of Christianity.
And the essence of the 88-year-old Brubeck, though slowed recently by illness, is that he is still improvising, still composing.
I didn't play it that way when you asked me, because my hands don't work.
Yeah, but your mind still does.
Yeah.
Because what Dave Brubeck has learned is that while jazz can energize, even thrill, his religious music can transform.
You have found music to be a vehicle to communicate God's command to love one another more deeply. That's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah.
You do that through your music.
Right.
Through it all, his wife says Brubeck has grown musically and spiritually. In part, he says, because when the composition does succeed, there is nothing quite like it.
You have a certain idea of what you wrote should sound like. And sometimes it doesn't sound that good. And sometimes if you've got a great orchestra and great conductor, it sounds better than you ever thought it could sound. And that's when you want to jump and holler and say, yeah, man.
Dave Brubeck, taking jazz back to its roots, to church. For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, this is Bob Fall in Washington.
Finally, the curious story of a baseball fan who settled a lawsuit this week in which he claimed he was kicked out of Yankee Stadium for trying to go to the men's room during the playing of God Bless America. The Yankees were playing their arch rival Boston Red Sox at the time. The city did not admit liability, but it will give the fan, Bradford Campo Lorien, $10,000 and pay another $12,000 in legal fees. Lorien had claimed he was the victim of political and religious discrimination. Maybe. But it is worth noting, Lorien is a native of New Hampshire and had been rooting for the Boston Red Sox. That's our program for now. I'm Tim O'Brien. There's more on our website, including more of Kim Lawton's interviews on mainline churches and gay marriage. Audio and video podcasts are also available. So join us at pbs.org. As we leave you, the Andre Crouch Singers at Michael Jackson's memorial service this week.